Now, my next guest left her home in rural Ireland in 1964 at the age of 19 in search of a new life in America. Within months, she found herself working for one of the most famous women on the planet, Jackie Kennedy, who was still grieving for the murder of her husband the previous autumn. A chance introduction led to Cathy McKeown becoming the former First Lady's personal assistant cum nanny. And for the next 13 years, she not only helped raise young Caroline and John Jr., but she also had a front row seat to some of the 20th century's most significant events. Now she's telling her story for the first time in a book called Jackie's Girl, My Life with the Kennedy Family. And I'm delighted to say Cathy McKeown joins me on the line now from New York. Cathy, good morning and welcome to Talk Radio Europe.
Good morning, Sean.
Tell me about your life in Ireland before you left for America. Just paint me a picture. What was life like?
It was a lot of fun. I had a fun family. My parents were good, but we did live on the farm, and there was the house had only two bedrooms and a kitchen. There was no bathroom and no running water and no electricity.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I have five brothers and two sisters.
Wow. And so at 19, you left for America. Why did you leave?
Because my father wanted me to have a better living and a better, way of life than working on the farm. And maybe he meant if I stayed around, I might be marrying a farmer, you know, a neighbor farmer in my neighborhood. So he thought I should do better for myself.
And did you take much convincing?
No, I was hoping that I would fail the test in Dublin, but I thought it might be a written test or a reading test, but it wasn't. It was a physical test. And I was in pretty good health because I played camogie and then a skein, and I passed the test. So I had no choice, Sean. I had to go.
So you actually had to go to Dublin and take a physical examination?
Exactly, yes.
Right.
To get a green card. I had to get a green card.
So, armed with a green card, presumably you set off for the airport and took your first flight. What was that like?
Oh, it was very scary when I seen Irish Airlines with a big green shamrock on it. But I was lucky that I had my an older sister with me, 1 year older than me, my sister Breege, and the two of us went together.
And was Breege going to stay in America as well?
Yes, there was two of us going to stay in America as well, yes.
So you weren't going to be too lonely, at least.
That's why my father wanted two of us to go together, because he said we'll keep each other company.
Now, and what were your first impressions of New York when you first got there? When taking the cab or the bus in from the airport?
I thought I'd never make it, and I thought that I'd get lost, and I was very, very scared to go out. But me and my sister decided we'd go to a Broadway show, and my aunt told us what trains to take from the Bronx down into Manhattan. We did, but Breege got on one train and I got on the other train. And guess what, Sean? I made the show and she didn't. She was on the wrong train and I was on the right train. That was very scary. That was very scary to me. I was all by myself, but I did go into the show and she never showed up.
And did you have a job lined up when you got there? When you turned up, were you and Breege already going to have jobs to go to?
No. My aunt took us to an agency on 86th Street on Lexington Avenue, and it was Johnson's agency. I remember it very well. And when we walked in there, the lady said, "Oh, I got two nice jobs for these two girls." They asked me, "What would I like to do?" And I said, "I would like to take care of kids." And Breege said she's going to want to be a waitress, and that's what we did.
Fantastic. And so yes. there you were looking after kids, and Breege was being a waitress. How did the job with Jackie Kennedy first come about then?
When she left the White House, she stayed in a hotel in Manhattan for about 6 months. And then she bought a place on Fifth Avenue, 1040 Fifth Avenue. And my cousin, Jack Maloney, was a police officer outside of 1040, and he met up with one of the Secret Service men, and the Secret Service man and him got to be great friends, and they used to go out for lunch together. And this Secret Service man said to my cousin Jack, "You know, Mrs. Kennedy is looking for a nice Irish girl. Do you know of any?" And Jack said, "Yes, I have two nice Irish girls," right? So they asked Breege first, and Breege said no. She said, "I'm happy where I am." And I said, "I'm going to take the job." So I took the job.
And so presumably you knew you were going to try and get a job with Jackie Kennedy.
Yes, I knew it, but I didn't know too, Sean, I didn't know too much about her. I knew she was a first lady. I knew she was very classy. I knew she came out of the White House, and I knew she had two kids. But I didn't really, put, you know, I knew President Kennedy better from the radio and see him on TV in Ireland before I left, but I didn't know too much about her.
So tell me, what was the, so your cousin and the Secret Service man tell you there's a job going. So what happens then? You go off and to a job interview?
Yes. The Secret Service man made an appointment with me, and I went up on an elevator to the 15th floor, and he came up with me. And when we rang the door, this lady all dressed in black, a waitress, she answered the door, and this guy Muggsy, the Secret Service was called Muggsy because President Kennedy put that name on him, Muggsy, and Muggsy said, good luck, you're on your own. And in I went to his door. And she told me that I could sit in the living room. And she put me in the living room, and I waited there. She said, then she came back, and she said to me, oh, Mrs. Kennedy, we'll be with you very shortly. And I said, okay. So all of a sudden, this little boy, cute little boy, came around the corner with his dog. And he said, even though he was very polite, he shook hands with me, and he says, my name is John. And I said, my name is Kathy. And at this time, Sean, I really, I didn't put two and two together who this John was, you know. I didn't figure it out. And he said, you want to see my dog doing a trick? And I said, sure, I'd love to see the dog doing a trick. So he says, watch this. So he put a bone, he took a bone out of his pocket, put it underneath the nice green silk cushion. I remember it so well. And he says, Shannon, go and get it. So Shannon went and crawled and crawled and dug into the cushion, and because he could smell the bone, and he got it. Oh, good boy, Shannon, John said. Do you want to see him do another trick? And I said, yeah, I'd love to see another trick. He says, roll over, Shannon. Shannon rolled over and got another bone. And all of a sudden, this beautiful voice came around the corner. John, what are you doing? You're ruining my couch. And I said, oh, we're in trouble now. So he took off very, very fast. And then she looked at me and she says, I know your name is Kathy. And I'm Mrs. Kenny. I says, it's a pleasure to meet you. And then I thought you were going to tell me, you know, sit down and we talk, you know, and ask me, you know, did I know anything about this job? And did I ever take care of kids or no? That never asked me a question. She says, you know, she says, Kat, when can you start? And I said, well, I'm working already, and then I have to tell the lady that I'm leaving her, and if I leave her too fast, I won't get a reference. And she says, you don't need a reference, you already got the job. I said, oh, really? She said, yes. I was in shock. I was in shock that I got a job so fast like that. So then she said, could you start on Monday? And I said, Mrs. Kennedy, I'll try to do my best. And next morning, went into the lady, and I told her what I was doing. She said, you are going to her, that terrible woman. Who would work for her?
Why did she think she was a terrible woman?
I guess she was jealous of her, you know, who she was, you know.
Okay.
She wasn't, yeah.
That was the beginning of it. So did you start on the Monday?
Yes, I did. I packed my suitcase up and I started on the Monday.
What was life like with the Kennedys on Fifth Avenue? What were your daily duties?
My job, I was a personal assistant, and what that means is I took care of her clothes, her room, and her jewellery, and her makeup, and her perfumes, and her shoes, all her clothes and everything. And every morning I'd wake her up and bring in her breakfast.
Wow, and you talk about her clothes, because, of course, she was a fashion icon at the time. Were the wardrobes and the clothes endless?
No, there wasn't. A lot of people think she was, that's all she did was shop. No, she didn't. She was very organized and everything matched, but she didn't have that much. And then she would give our clothes every year to charity. You know, we'd have to call the Salvation Army, and she'd give them to churches and all like that. She was very generous, and she'd ask me, Kat, if there's anything in this pile that you would like, you know, pick it out. She says, you can have it.
And what was she like to talk to? Would she ever have sat and talked with you as you were going about your duties?
Yes, she was very, very friendly and very nice, and she kept asking me how is it going, and are you happy here, and all this stuff, and is nobody bothering you? And I said no. She actually let me be in charge of the house, because in the morning when I go in with the breakfast, she'd give me all these notes. One would be for the waitress, one would be for the cook, and one would be for something else, and the secretary. And I had to go around and hand out all these notes.
Wow. And could you believe it? Did you have to pinch yourself to believe where you were and what you were doing?
Yes, I did, Sean. I could not believe that where I ended up, you know, where I came from and where I ended up. It was unbelievable. Yes.
And what about your family at home? Did you tell them? What did they make of your position?
Yeah, they just loved it. They just loved it. And when I went home for the first time, when she went down to Waterford and Wexford, and my mother and my three brothers met her, and she told the cook, make sure they get some to eat, and the cook made them tea and sandwiches. And she met them all, and she was very, very nice.
Wow.
Very nice to them. She was a lovely lady. She was a perfect lady, you know.
And tell me about the children, because presumably your little interview there with John Jr. was possibly the beginning of it. Did you talk to the children? Did they ever talk about their father's assassination?
Yeah, Caroline did. Caroline did ask me that one night, where was I when my father was shot? And I said, I was in Ireland. And she says, I thought you were in New York. And I said, no, Caroline, I was in Ireland. And I said, Caroline, where were you? And she said, I was in the White House. And she said, he was a good man. And she said, that shouldn't have happened. And then she says to me, Kat, let's say a little prayer for him. And then I said, Caroline, you know that? He's up there looking down on you, and he's watching every move you're making and everything you're doing. So you don't have to worry about it. So she's okay, thank you, Kat. She was very, very religious when she was a little girl.
Now, I presume...
When I'd take her to church, her and John to church, to St. Ignatius Church, she would, I'd give her a quarter, you know, to put in the box, you know, in the money box. And you know, Carolyn would keep the quarter. She'd have the quarter. When she walk home the block, Carolyn put out her hand, look at Kat, I got the quarter. I said, Carolyn, that's what's supposed to go into the box. And she kept it, but she still went praying. And then when we went home to the house, John and Carolyn went in to see the mom, and she says, John, could you tell Kat to come in here? And I went in anyway. She said, oh, that's so nice of you, Kat, for bringing the kids to the park, right? And I said, no, we weren't in the park, we were at church. And she said, how did John get so dirty? And I said, well, he went under the seat. He was crawling on the seat. He was very hard to keep quiet. He wouldn't stay still. And he was all dressed up nice. And he had a nice white shirt on him and everything. But he came home there. He was so dirty, she thought I took him to the park. He was in the church.
Now, presumably over and above your time on Fifth Avenue, there were also times and summers at Cape Cod with the wider Kennedy family. What were they like?
They were very, very friendly and outgoing, and always ready for games and sports and water skiing and baseball and football. They were very, very friendly kids, every one of them. They were beautiful kids.
And I gather your name, Jackie's Girl, the name of your book, is actually something, was a name given you by Rose Kennedy.
She called me that the first time I went over, and she said to me, what's your name? And I said, my name is Kathleen. And she said, oh, we have a Kathleen in the family. And I said, yeah. She says, yeah. So then when she called the house, could you tell Jackie's Girl that Mass is at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? You know, sometimes I have Mass in the house. And I said, okay. And she was talking to me, but she didn't know I was Jackie's Girl. That's who she was talking to. She was talking to Jackie's Girl all along. Could you tell Jackie's Girl to come over and cut some flowers for Jackie? And I said, sure, Mrs. Kennedy, I'll do that. So I'd head off over. She was talking to me already, you know.
Wow.
I didn't say anything. She was a lovely lady. Mrs. Rose Kennedy was a lovely, lovely lady. She was lovely.
Now, of course, in 1968, tragedy struck again with Bobby's assassination. How did you first hear the news yourself?
Oh, I thought that was terrible. They killed the president and then they did it on Bobby Kennedy. And Bobby was a lovely, lovely man. He was another father for John and Caroline. He'd come all the time to see them. And the first thing he would do when he came in the door, well, John, were you a good boy all this week? And he said, yes. And he said to me, Kat, is that true? And I said, yes, he was a good boy. I wouldn't say anything. But it was my day off, and I think it was on a Thursday. And a Secret Service man called me up. That same guy, Muggsy, called me up and says, Kat, you have to get back to work. And I said, no, it's my day off. Muggsy, it's my day off. He says, no, 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 I'm coming over right now. I give you 5 minutes to be downstairs. I had I had a little studio apartment of my own with another girl. And I went downstairs, and he was in this big car with sunglasses on him, and I jumped in along with him, and he told me what happened. I said, come on, that didn't happen. He said, yes, it did. You have to go back to work. And when I got to the apartment, Madame met me in the front hallway, and she was very, very upset. She was crying, and she was on the phone. And she said to me, could you go down to the room and talk to John and Carolyn? They're very upset of what happened to our uncle. And I said, okay, Madame, I'll do the best I can. So I tried my best to calm them down and talk to them. And I told Carolyn the same thing. Uncle Bobby is up there watching you, and, you know, we'll say a little prayer for him, and everything will be okay.
In 1968, also, I believe Jackie also married Aristotle Onassis as well. So some better news in 1968. What was he like? How were they together?
They were good company for each other, and they were good friends. Yeah, and they went out for dinner and to have the cocktails in the evening and all that time. He loved his popcorn. That you know, the popcorn you shake over the stove and it'll all tin foil and it'll all bubble up. That was his favourite popcorn. And you didn't have to put butter on it or salt. It was already in it. He used to say, don't put anything on it, just bring it in the way it was. The two of them would eat the popcorn with a nice big open fire, you know, all lit up. And they'd have the little drink. And then they would go for dinner in the dining room. And he was very nice to me. Very nice to me.
And you finally left Jackie's service in 1977. Did you stay in touch beyond that time?
Yes, I did. And I went up to the Cape on the Greyhound bus, me and the three kids. And I was staying with a neighbour in the compound, and she couldn't believe it that I was here. She said, Kat, I never knew that you loved the Cape so much. And I said, Madame, I always loved the Cape. And she said, Dad, so nice of you to come up and visit us. And she said, where are you staying? And I told her where I was staying. She said, and she, you know, she got in touch with that lady, and when I was ready to leave, the bill was already paid. She paid the bill.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very generous.
And 40 years later, from leaving her in 1977, 40 years later, your book is out. Why now, and why did you wait so long to tell your story?
Sean, I'm telling my story now because my granddaughter wanted to do a report on President Kennedy, and I gave her all the information on it, and that even the teacher at the school said to Kira, where did you get all that from? She said, I never knew that my grandma worked for the Kennedys. And she said, she's telling me this story now. And then that's when I decided, they told me, I think you should write a book. You should write a book. And then I said, yes, I should, before I forget anything. Now, Sean, I never wrote down a note or anything. It's all in my mind. I memorized the whole thing, but I did keep a good few of notes that I got, very, very personal notes that I got. I have a lot of them in a scrapbook. And then I said, I'm going to do this book for my kids, my grandkids, my husband, and my family. And they're very proud of me that I did so.
Well, it seems to be doing very well for you, certainly in America. Jackie's Girl, My Life with the Kennedy Family by Kathy McKeown is out now, published by Gallery Books. And as always, you can order your copy online at the TRE Bookshop by following the links at talkradioeurope.com. Kathy McKeown, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with the book, and have a great day.
And thank you for having me on, Sean.